August 24th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to review from the Hebrews chapter 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For 100 people, there are hundreds of different sins, but Christ's body and the blood were sacrificed for our sins once and for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. So we are waiting for the time when his enemies are made to be his footstool to step on. It clearly says his enemy. So the Bible acknowledges that there are enemies. Some people say that there's no enemy, or they choose to have peace with the enemy. But while we are waiting for that time for them to become God's footstool, the enemy is still out there disturbing people and disrupting Christians. And that's the reality. And as for the footstool, let's look at the Psalm 110 from verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is about Jesus Christ, and he's waiting, seated at the right hand of God. So this tells us that the enemy is not yet his footstool and is still active. So both Hebrews and the Psalm says that Jesus is waiting for that day. The following verses of the Psalm 110 says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. It seems like the outcome of the battles is up to the people of God. As Christians, we need to know that we are part of the battles, and the outcome is up to us. To be specific, even in the Christian community, there are a lot of deceptions from the enemies. Sometimes the enemies are more persistent than us, smarter than us, and more skillful than us. For example, if you look at the Left Behind series, they have sold the book over 70 or 80 million copies. Selling my book for 1,000 copies was hard enough, but they have sold 70 million to my amazement. So that means that many Christians around the world are being deceived. But the Bible says, rule in the midst of your enemies. So we continue with our work with the Lord in the midst of all the deceptions. We keep preaching the message of that the being lifted up before the tribulation is wrong, and the Christ does not come twice. So in a sense, this is the work in the middle of the enemy's camp. There are other deceptions, like some saying that the Europe is a nation of the beast, or some say that it's the UN. But as we seek the Lord, and we have received a revelation from the Lord that the nation of the beast is the United States. And you know, when you go to a restaurant and waiting for your order to be served, and when the waiter brings you something different, that would upset you. But if you see that they're preparing something that you ordered correctly, that makes you happy. And I believe that's how Jesus Christ is waiting for us to do the things that he has commissioned us to do. Hebrews 10 verse 14. For by one offering we have perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Everyone's sins are forgiven by the sacrifice Jesus has made, and we are sanctified by him. From verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after we had said before, this is the covenant that we will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I believe we read the same before in chapter 8. When the Bible repeats things, that means it is that important. And the verse, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, I will write them, is repeated twice in the book of Hebrews. People tend to rely on written statement. The church I used to go had a statement of faith, and then we used to recite that out loud. And once written, people have a tendency to respect the creed. So the Lord wrote the law in our heart, including mine, and that's how I started my walk with the Lord. And you receive it by faith. As you know, I started writing about the end time revelations when I was with another church. I wrote and gave those messages to my pastors and some other people, and they started complaining about me. And I got reprimanded when I was not being obedient to the authority of the leaders of the church. The pastor even brought a book written by my favorite author, and the book had a chapter on authority and the obedience. And the pastor asked me to read that section and write a report on it. And then they thought that me writing my own interpretation and revelation of the Bible was challenging the authority of the pastors. And I didn't want to get kicked out of the church because I didn't want to do church hopping. So I prayed for a few weeks and I did not receive any answer. And I think after praying about it for 3 weeks, I thought about the authority of the prophet. Being obedient to the authority is an important thing, but when King David committed a sin and when no one was able to speak against him, the prophet Nathan rebuked the king. And although this is the Old Testament story, I think this is relevant in modern day church too. Before, there was only Roman Catholic Church, and the Protestants came a lot later, so Pope abused his authority, and Luther spoke against it, and they accused him for disobeying the authority. The prophets always had an exceptional role to speak the truth when no one else could question the leader's authority and the decision. So I wrote about it and brought my letter to all three pastors of the church, who God told me to bring to all three. And I don't know what happened after that. I assumed they had to have a discussion about me, but I did not get kicked out of the church. Yes, God says that we should obey the authority, but God also ordained the best and a different path for each of His children. So experiencing His way and learning to obey Him in your walk is so important. And if you only rely on the written law and the instructions given by other people, and without hearing directly from God, you will certainly fall. Verse 18 and 19. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, you know what the difference between holy place and holy of holies, right? Well, this is about the service of the modern day church too. Well, there is a bread in the holy place, and which now is the word of God. And there are services that takes you to the holy place or to the holiest of holies. And in the holiest of holies, there is manna, not bread. And you know you can get bread from anywhere, but manna, it comes straight from the Lord. And that's the difference. So when you are hearing messages, there are bread-like messages and there are manna-like messages. And I received a call from a wife of Pastor Minoru Okuyama yesterday. I don't know them in person, but we have been sending our newsletter to them. And as she called us and left a message saying that they did not receive our newsletter last month, so we would like to request for one. So she requested for one, and actually she requested for more than one copy. And most of the time, people call to complain about our newsletters, so I was surprised and I was happy to receive that call. But I thought that some people do understand what we are doing. So I just wanted to share that with you, that the manna we receive at our church, and we are also blessing other people with that manna. And not sure if everyone appreciates it, but some people do appreciate it. So please know that there is a holy service and service unto the Holy of Holies, and the difference of bread and manna. Verse 20. By a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. So there is a veil that separates the holy place and the holy of holies. To human eyes, all the church services look the same, but to God's eye, there is a clear separation. As you know, we cannot walk this Christian walk with our flesh and our own strength. Rely on our flesh means death, and that's why Jesus was crucified to kill that part of us. We died with him and we resurrected with him. So our flesh now is unto the Lord. So if you are not a good speaker, for example, you will become one when Christ takes over your mouth and tongue. You receive whole body of Jesus Christ by faith. I experienced this in my life too. And I hated public speaking since I was a kid. So being a pastor and delivering messages in front of the congregation was unthinkable. So what I'm doing now is totally the work of the Lord. And when we started holding seminars, I was so worried, but I knew that Lord wanted us to do it, but I was not sure how we could do it. Speaking on Sunday in front of the people I know is one thing, but for the seminars, I have to speak in front of people I don't know. So I was so worried, and we started this by faith. And then you see me holding on the textbook while I speak, and I need that to keep me going without derailing from the topic. But otherwise, I lose track of what I'm speaking. But God is training me in that sense for public speaking. Not only this, God has given us a new body so that we could do the work to glorify His name.